It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. The string of seven killings and multiple shooting incidents in the last 2 months in Bloomington Normal has drawn concern and attention to gun violence issues. Last week, GLT hosted a community conversation on gun violence. Now other groups are starting dialogues. GLT's Charlie Schlenker talks with United Way of McLean County CEO David Taylor about a youth summit set for August 18th. Taylor says it came together quickly.
With some of the recent violence that's been going on, with just some of the trends that we've seen from a youth standpoint, it's begun to appear that our youth are in crisis here in this community. And so conversations started with Mike Matika and myself and Kathleen Lorenz around what can we do about that? What should we look to do? And so this idea of a youth summit kind of came to the forefront. And we had conversations with both mayors, with the police chiefs, and with the superintendents of the local school districts, and they were supportive. And, you know, the date that we picked is kind of a happy medium. Sure, we'd like to do something maybe sooner, and some people would like to do something maybe a little bit later after school starts, but this is just a first step is how we're looking at it.
What trends have you identified over the last several years that feed into this gun violence issue and the need for youth in crisis to be addressed in the community?
Yeah, and I would say that the gun violence is just one symptom of it, but definitely some of the work that I've been involved with from a BN Advantage workforce development standpoint, there is a desire from local employers to have more qualified workers. At the forum, there were panelists that talked about the fact that there aren't opportunities for some of these youth that are finding themselves in the middle of some of this trouble. And so I think there's a little bit of a disconnect. There's a desire, I think, on both ends of this to provide meaningful opportunities for employment and a trained workforce, but we're missing some of those connections. And so even beyond the violence, I think some of the trends indicate that there's a mismatch perhaps of available workforce and some of the skill sets required. So how can we bridge those gaps and how can we close some of those?
Networks form and grow and mature and then fade away all the time for various purposes as they outgrow a particular pressing need. What are the connections that need to form here?
And I think that over the years, there's been a growing trend towards more college preparation. And I think that there are some missed opportunities, and we're starting to see that realization through some of the work that we're doing and talking about the potential for certifications, for dual credits going on at the high school level and partnerships between the school districts and Heartland College, as well as the unions and trades.
Heartland is working with businesses, both manufacturing businesses and white-collar businesses like State Farm, and specialty businesses like the hospitals, which need med tech kinds of things, or med tech equipment repair people. Where does the United Way fit in that conversation and in those links that are growing between Heartland and the businesses and Heartland and the high schools where they push the instructional certification downward?
Yeah, and I'd kind of have you picture a pipeline, Charlie, if you will, and think of, say, that prenatal period. And we saw that mentioned, too, when one of the citizens commented publicly about the importance of early programs like, say, a Healthy Start. And, you know, then think all the way through to a young person being gainfully employed, having a meaningful career, having a meaningful opportunity to provide for themselves. And if you look at that as a continuum or a pipeline, where United Way sees ourselves with that is a lot of our programming that we're funding is focused more on that prenatal to, say, junior high, maybe early high school kind of period. And at that point, there are opportunities to pass some of that off to some of the other work that's started to pick up. You know, the EDC had formed a partnership a couple of years ago with State Farm around STEM type activities, particularly at the junior high level. So I think there are some great opportunities to start to coordinate some of the investments going into that to where maybe an EDC is picking up something like that and a BN Advantage type workforce development committee through the chamber chamber can pick up as we look at career pathways, high school accreditation with colleges, et cetera.
And the United Way and its other member agencies are identifying kids to go into those tracks? Or,
They can help with that, certainly, but also providing them, helping them get on the right track. You know, take a program like Healthy Start, and we've got two of those programs at town, one at the Baby Fold and one at Children's Home and Aid. And those are focused in on that prenatal to age 5 care for mothers and their kids. You know, there are a lot of studies that show that some of what happens early on in a child's life is what helps set them up for future success. And so United Way's funding, as well as some of our partnerships with local agencies, have a lot of focus in on those early childhood years that help set them on the right paths. I think that other programs then, as you get into the elementary and junior high levels, like at the Boys and Girls Club and Project Oz, are then able to kind of help steer those kids into some of those career pathways.
One of the needs identified in the GLT-sponsored conversation on gun violence in the community is a lack of social outlets as well as employment outlets for the 18 to 21-year-olds, the just post-high school people who've been through the Boys and Girls Club or a number of other programs designed to help them avoid untoward influences in their lives.
Yeah.
How does the United Way fit into that?
Well, and to be frank right now, I don't know that we have fit into that. And I would also suggest that perhaps that's a little bit of a gap with our community right now, is that I think we do a really good job. We have a lot of systems and services in place that help those kids, maybe even up through high school graduation. But there, and it was commented on and talked about at the panel last night, that there are oftentimes then maybe some drop-offs in some of that support system after 18, after high school graduation. And so I think that's something that we can explore a little bit more at the Youth Summit, because what we envision a little bit as we started formulating this concept was that obviously we're probably not going to walk out of there with, okay, if we do these three things, the problem is solved. I think that you and I both recognize, as well as the panel and the people at the forum last night, that there's a lot more depth to this and a lot more complexity than simple, hey, do 1, 2, and 3, and then this will be solved. I think, though, that there are really two ends of the spectrum that you have to work on. There are definitely youth in that 16 to 20-something range that are in crisis right now that need more immediate maybe supports and interventions. But then there are also some upstream, you know, in that maybe 3-year-old to 8, 9, 10-year-old range that can be investments that can help put them on the right path so that they don't end up at the same spot.
How do you envision the forum unfolding? What's the conversation going to be like, and what will the work product resulting from the forum be? Obviously more work since it's just the start, but how do you see that shaping?
Well, what we envision, Mike and Kathleen and I, as we've been having conversation on this, is that we want to get key community leaders and stakeholders there. We want to see people from the religious sector, you know, from the local churches. We want to see people from organizations like the Promise Councils, the 100 Black Men, other adult social and service organizations, whether it be fraternities and sororities for adults, or whether it be the Rotaries, the Kiwanis, local government leaders, schools, obviously. I think there are a lot of stakeholders that in some form or fashion either have a direct impact on a young person's life or have a desire to see them set up for success and see that as in the best interest of our community's well-being long-term. So that's the first point, is helping people to understand that this wave that we've seen recently is a troubling trend, and if we don't start doing something sooner rather than later, it's only going to increase. So that's kind of the first part, is helping people understand that this is an issue and this is something that needs to be looked at more fully. I think from there then, what we envision, and we've had some at least initial conversations with Dr. Barry Riley and Dr. Mark Daniel from District 87 and Unit 5 level, is What about then picking some dates in later September, maybe a couple of weeknights where we can then meet with smaller groups of students locally here and talk with them, work with Youth Build. And I know that at the recent shooting at Lancaster Heights, that at least one of the victims was a Youth Build alumnus. And so I know that for them, this is a very important issue right now. So getting input from the students that are a part of that program and start talking with the kids, the youth, and find out what are they seeing? What trends, what concerns do they have? What solutions or ideas might they have? Because there's a quote by Einstein, and I'll probably butcher it a little bit, but it basically says that it's going to take a different level of thinking to solve the problems we've created with the current level of thinking. And I think that that's going to be important, that as we come into this first summit, recognize that A, it's a first step, that B, it's to get that conversation going, and to see that we've got to leave some of that baggage at the door and recognize we may have some things that are working, but clearly what's happening shows that some of what we have is not working and we need to think differently.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. With us is David Taylor, the CEO of the United Way of McLean County. You have also made your funding decisions for the year. You're coming to the end of a three-year cycle of funding, so the percentages of the available dollars really are the same. But what are some of the dollar awards being made to the various programs this year?
Yeah, so and we'll have some more detailed announcements on specific dollar amounts for each organization and each program here in the coming weeks or so. But from a high level, we feel comfortable with allocating out $808,000 in direct service funding here. In addition to that, there will be funding that goes to Next Step, which is the Financial Opportunity Center, which is a neat joint venture that includes Mid-Central Community Action, the University of Illinois Law School, as well as Heartland Community College, and that'll be another $25,000. And then we also fund the local 211 crisis hotline, and that will be around $41,000 or so. So we saw an overall right now, we've collected just over $1.1 million in funds. We anticipate, and again, we're trying to move away from those projections, those campaign totals. We want to really work on dollars in hand, which is why, you know, this kind of completion of the three-year funding cycle, which will go through June 30th of 2019, is kind of really maybe the, at least initially, the last of its kind exactly like that. And there will probably be some changes moving forward to ensure that we're giving out what's in hand and not having to rely on projections or pledges. And so based on what we know and what we feel confident in, $808,000 is what we're comfortable with releasing, knowing that we'll be able to honor that commitment.
And what did you release last year?
Last year, it was just over $1,070,000. So this is a decrease of about $260,000 or so.
You mentioned the $25,000 for the Next Step program. That's the second year of such an award. Why are you highlighting that?
Well, that's something I think that is a demonstrates a collaboration among different organizations. So you've got Heartland Community College, you've got University of Illinois Law, you've got Mid-Central Community Action. And really that program, which is supported by contributions from Country Financial, which they are a big part of that award of $25,000, really helps people kind of break through that cycle of poverty or living near that poverty line. And so we've got some programs that support those interventions when somebody is in crisis. And Next Step is really one of those programs that's designed to help elevate somebody then out of that in the future. And so I think it, for a couple of reasons. One, it's a program, I think, that demonstrates or highlights a strong collaboration among local organizations. And two, it's really about changing conditions that lead to some of these symptoms rather than just treating the symptom itself.
Unpack that for listeners, will you? What actually does the program do to remove people from immediate crisis?
Sure. And let's say, for example, somebody is needing help with their utility bill. And Mid-Central Community Action, along with some other organizations in the community, sometimes operate with an emergency fund of sorts that helps with that. So what they try to do then is once somebody has had that satisfied, they look to get a commitment from them to sign up for Next Step, which are financial coaching sessions and counseling sessions to help them understand and to learn to budget their money, how to avoid situations like that, how to set aside some for specific unexpected events in their lives, and to help them create kind of that cushion so that they're not having to rely on emergency help from the Town of Normal, the City of Bloomington, Mid-Central Community Action, other organizations that hold some sort of emergency fund to help citizens and clients when they're in crisis. So it's really then trying to teach and try to educate and to help them elevate their understanding of what's led to them being in that position and to see what opportunities or assistance they can provide to help elevate them out of that.
The Youth Summit with Not in Our Town, the United Way of McLean County, and other stakeholders such as schools will be August 18th. United Way CEO David Taylor spoke with Charlie Schlenker for Sound Ideas.